To the 127th Psalm. We'll begin there in just a moment. Grateful to have some visiting with us tonight. Encourage you to get your Bible so that you may study with us. Always encourage you to get a Bible that you may find the things that are being taught to be so. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song. And if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ this very evening. In the 127th Psalm, I want to read to you Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So the children of one's youth, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Then Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. I don't think it would come as a surprise to any that at this time to state out that the family life is under great danger in our day and time. If I were to quote to you some of the stats, it would almost seem unreal when you look at how the family life has decayed. Someone has said that outside of war, the home is the most dangerous place for one to be. And if that is a true statement, and I think it could be, it's a sad comment on the home. And there have been so many books written on the family life and the philosophy that one should use in the family that one may get confused. My point at this time is not to deal with that aspect, but to bring to your heart four stages of the family life as brought out in Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. I want us to think about that this sermon is not for everyone. Some never marry. And I recognize that some never have children, and you'll recognize that is not wrong. You'll find that Jesus never married and Paul never married. And if someone makes that decision, they should not be shamed for it. That is a decision for them to make. And many times we look at somebody that's not married and we don't include them when we ought to include them. And so tonight I want us to understand at the very outset of our study that we do not need to look down on someone who chooses not to marry. That Paul and other great individuals in the divine revelation never did wed. But when you look in the 127th Psalm, you see the beginning of the home. And from this, I mean before any children are brought into the relationship. And this is the time that the man and woman join their lives together in marriage and learn to adjust to the experience of living with each other. And notice in the Psalm 127, the psalmist says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Then he speaks of the home as a city with a wall around it. In the days that this was written, as you'll note, Solomon wrote this, they would build a wall around the home to guard against the enemy. And then you would build a wall along the top of your home so somebody would not fall off the roof. And it was a means of protection. And what he is saying is that in marriage, unless the Lord builds the house, individuals labor in vain. In other words, you must build your home, you must build your marriage, if you want a right marriage, upon the Word of God. This means we start right, that we have our priorities in the proper place. And in a lot of homes, you'll find that at this time, jobs and planning and wanting a bigger home and a better car and all those things come into place, and people fail to put Christ first in their lives. And that's why you find a lot of homes that fail. That is why the enemy gets in and destroys the home, because individuals can be selfish at times. And if we're not careful, we're not looking after our spouse, we're just looking after self. And you want to know, my friend, why there are a lot of homes destroyed? Because individuals are selfish in the home life and do not consider the other. But then I want you to think about, if you build your home on the Lord's teaching, that home will prosper. But secondly, notice the family will increase. Notice what he says in verses 3 through 5 when children are born into this relationship. He said, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Notice, heritage, a reward. And he said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one youth. Now, there are some who may decide not to have children, and that's not unscriptural. Someone may decide that it's not able, they're able to have children, or there may be something that causes them not to have children, and we must not look down on that family. But when a family does have children, they must understand that that is a very important responsibility, that every child is important. God did not place children into the home just to get rid of them or by accident. They're given as fruit of God to be loved. And you know, my home is no different than yours. And where to love and guide and to serve the Lord and to teach our children. And the family with children is to be a dwelling place to glorify God. But then if you look in the 128th Psalm, you'll find that the child-rearing years come in. You first have the life before children. Then you have children. And then you have the child-rearing years. And I want you to think about, my friend, that those can be difficult years. I used to have a sermon, I think I did. I wrote something out on how to raise children before I had them. And you know what, my friend? That was the time to preach it when I was an expert. Because after I've had children, I recognize I don't know nearly what I thought I knew. And sometimes we think we know things when we have not went through the experience of it. I used to have that sermon, it might have been called Raising Children. Now I would put a fellow pilgrim struggling along just with some words of wisdom that I've learned through the days. And I'll tell you that the child rearing can be difficult. We need to provide for them in the home life, food and clothing and shelter. That's part of the life that they need. But we need to also provide for them spiritual guidance. As they begin to grow up, we see new friends coming into their lives and into our houses. And notice what he says in the 128th Psalm when he talks about eat the fruit of your own hands. This does not mean it's easy to rear children in any age. They can be a blessing and called fruit of our lives, but it can also be a difficult time. You know, this is where we have to learn to talk to our children and be able to have them come to us and talk about their problems rather than going to some other source. We need to be able to be the kind of parents that are not hard-headed to even listen to them. Because many of the problems with teenagers has been the parents' problems. But many times, it's going to be young people are going to rebel, and we have to endure that and continue to be the spiritual light that gives them guidance. Not be hypocritical, but be the people that admit we make mistakes and help them as they make mistakes. One thing I've had to do as a father and as a husband is admit I make mistakes. When I fall short, I tell my children, I made a mistake in that. I shouldn't have done that. And you know, my friend, that shows that their father's not perfect, that he's not always right, but it shows that he's trying to do what is right, and he's willing to admit when he's wrong. And I'll tell you something, my beloved friend. In the child-rearing years, you're going to make a lot of blunders. You're going to think you're doing the right thing, and many times you may be trying to do the right thing, and they continue to rebel. And one thing we have to remember is our job is to give them spiritual guidance. We need to be able to give them what they need, and we need to be able to give them where they can turn and be able to put the Word of God in their heart. Now, that doesn't mean when they come of age, they'll follow the Scripture. They're free moral agent. But I would to God tonight that we, when they're in the days of their youth, would put into their heart the importance of serving God Almighty. I've tried to impress upon my boys, and I've probably done a pitiful job, but I would rather them, if their education fail, as long as their relationship with God be right. Now, their teacher may not like me saying that, but that's the truth for me. I want God first in their life. I remember when I was a little boy, me and a neighbor boy would play garbage man. We'd get on the back of my father's truck and we'd get down and act like we were getting garbage. And I remember the neighbor's mother came over and said, "I don't want my boy to be a garbage man. I don't want him playing that anymore." And I remember my mother saying to me, "Son, I don't care what you do if you're right with the Lord." And I want you to think about teaching your children the importance of being right with the Lord. But then I want you to think about the last years. You know, the children grow up. And notice what he said beginning in verse 4. He said in Psalm 128 verse 4, "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children." Now, he comes to the last part as we look to see our children's children, grandchildren. Quietness returns to the home. You're back where you started. And then he says, "Peace be upon Israel." He says that there comes a time when the children leave, but isn't it a joy when you have children's children? Now, you grandparents, remember the first time you held that grandbaby? Oh, I'll tell you one thing I'll never forget, is seeing Danny Law the first time he had McKenna. I don't know if it's the first time, but one of the first times I saw him with him. And that was a beaming grandfather. And I've seen some of you with your grandchildren, and doesn't it mean so much? But to see that your children are trying to raise them right in the Lord, oh, that touches the heart. And what we need to do is get back and let the Lord build the house, and our house will not be built in vain. All the stages give opportunity to glorify God. But it begins by having Christ in your home. I want to ask you a question. Is Christ the centerpiece of your home? Because if He's not the center of your home, look at what He said again in verse 1. "Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it." Oh, you can have a long marriage, but it's not going to be what it needs to be if God is not at the center of your life. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we pray that you'd obey the gospel and be a good example in the home life, not to only your spouse, but to your children and your children's children.